8 to 14. So before we begin our journey through this part of God's Word, let's bow and look to the Lord in prayer. Proverbs 10, verses 8 to 14. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word, and thank you for Proverbs. And this is a book that can give us some great wisdom, and I pray that it would do that as we take a few weeks to journey through it. I just thank you for those who come out to hear it. Pray you bless them for their efforts and sacrifice tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Mark Twain once said that a genius is not very likely to discover himself, and neither is he very likely to be discovered by his intimates. In fact, Twain said, I think it may be put in stronger words and say, it's impossible that a genius will be discovered by those that are close to him, because they're so close to him that he is out of focus to them and they can't get the proportions right. They can't perceive that there is a considerable difference between his bulk and their own. What Mark Twain was saying is that most people become so infatuated with themselves, they can't make a clear distinction between someone who is a genius like an Albert Einstein and themselves. The genius, on the other hand, is so infatuated with his work that he doesn't have time to recognize really his own genius. And that was Twain's point in making that analysis. When it comes to the wise spiritual life, that same kind of problem can actually exist. It's possible to become so impressed with ourselves that we begin to think that there's no more need for growth, no more need for study, no more need to submit to anything. It's possible in one's thinking to become so distorted that it neglects to recognize the vast difference between being wise and being foolish. It's possible to be an absolute fool from God's perspective and think you're a spiritual genius from God's perspective. But the true spiritual genius will be so enthralled with how little he knows. The true one that's really right with the Lord will be so after getting more and more knowledge and wisdom that he has little time to recognize where he's really at. Now, Solomon knew that there was a major difference between someone who's wise from God's perspective and someone who's wise from his own vantage point. And in chapters 10 to 15, he gives a series of proverbs that primarily are designed to establish the differences. One who would be wise from God's perspective versus one who would be wise from his own calculation. There's a way to gauge, quite frankly, whether or not we're on a path of wisdom or a path of a fool. It's very simple, very concrete, clearly spelled out. There are major differences between being a believer who's wise and being one who is being a fool. There's a major difference between one who's living life in a wise way as a wise believer and living life in our foolish way, living life God's wise way. There are major differences there, and that's what this section of Scripture is all about. Now, as we come to our text tonight, Proverbs chapter 10, verses 8 to 14, some of those differences are pretty evident. And the central point of the verses is there are major differences between a wise person and a foolish person, and we are to know those differences so we may evaluate ourselves and others. That really is what Solomon's out to do in this section of verses. He wants us to take a serious look at ourselves and sometimes others to see where we're at in regard to these principles. Now, as near as I can determine, there are four main distinctions that are pointed out between one who's wise by God's classification and one who is a fool by God's classification. Difference number one, there's a major difference in an attitude toward instruction. Now look with me, if you would please, at verse 8. The wise of heart will receive commands, but a babbling fool will be ruined. Look at verse 14. Wise men store up knowledge, but with the mouth of the foolish, ruin is at hand. Now, when you read those verses that are basically dealing with the same subject matter, the subject matter is not too hard to see. The wise man is one who receives instruction. He's one who loves to take in knowledge. He's one who loves to learn, to grow in the knowledge of the Word of God. And a close examination of these words would indicate that a wise man is one who will be a very serious and very solid student of the Word of God. In fact, the word that says the wise of heart will receive commands is a word that means you're taking in counsel, you're receiving it, you want to know it, you're taking it to yourself. And when he says, and this one will store up knowledge, it's talking about the fact that this one is really after taking in the Word of God to a level that it is treasured in the heart. In other words, that's the mark of a wise person. A wise person is one who loves to take in the Word of God. He loves to listen to sound instruction. He loves to take in good teaching. He loves to sit under accurate dividing of the Scriptures. As Dr. Toy said in his commentary, he has a teachable disposition. Now contrast that with the fool. The fool, on the other hand, is heading for destruction. He does not enjoy being taught. He does not enjoy learning the things of the Lord. He enjoys babbling. He enjoys shooting off his mouth. He enjoys talking. The word babbling is a word which means he enjoys constantly opening up his lips. That's what a fool likes to do. A fool is a person who wants to talk but not take in the instruction. A fool is one who likes to babble and likes to just talk about things without learning what he's talking about. That's the mark of one who's wise. They want to learn and grow so they can speak accurately. On the other hand, a fool is not intent on learning and growing. He just wants to babble with his own mouth. William Arnott made an interesting observation regarding the fool when he said that people would have never known that his head was so hollow if he wouldn't have been constantly wringing his mouth. And then Dr. Arnott goes on to say in his commentary that the real key to being a good teacher is being a good student first, and a wise man will be forever a student. I mean, that's the mark of wisdom, wanting to take in more instruction, wanting to learn more, wanting to grow more, wanting to understand things at a deeper level. You see, a wise person is one who senses, I have much more to learn. I have much more to grasp. I have much more to glean. I want to learn the deeper things of God. Whereas a fool is just interested in postulating his opinions and his theories, and he's not interested in learning. He's interested in opening up his mouth and saying whatever it is he wants to say. He likes to get it off his mind, get it off his chest, whether or not it's solid or sound, whether or not it's even true or right. A fool is too ignorant to see his own ignorance. All he's doing is talking too much rather than quieting down and taking in solid instruction. Several years ago, some of the major book publishers of theology were invited to present their books to pastors of a local area. And the local bookstores in the area sent out invitations to pastors, inviting them to the presentation, and they offered them free books if they came. And it was at that time partially my responsibility from Kriegel Publications to go down and make those presentations. And after a meeting in one of the cities in which these pastor conferences were held, I overheard a pastor say something to this effect: you don't need all those books, you just need the Bible. Well, I realized when I heard that, that man's a fool. And you could easily tell that he's feeding his flock at a shallow level. Because the truth of the matter is, we need to be taking in the deep things of God. And the kinds of books that were being presented at these conferences were not surface level things. These were deep, meaty books. And these were the kind of things that are needed in libraries if one's going to grow. Now, we don't have the privilege of sitting at the feet, literally, of Martin Luther. We don't have the privilege of sitting at the feet, literally, of Lewis Berry Chafer or Charles Spurgeon, but through their writings, we have the wonderful privilege of being able to sit at their feet and learn and grow and mature in the things of God to the deep ways they learned and grew and matured in the things of God. And a wise man will want to take that in. A wise man will want to study that before he opens up his mouth to say anything. I heard a story one time I've never forgotten. I verified it at least twice from Mr. Miles to make sure I have the facts accurate, and they are accurate. One time Mr. Miles said, when he was president of the Grand Rapids School of the Bible and Music, that Dr. Charles Feinberg was in Grand Rapids. Now, Dr. Feinberg is one of the outstanding, or was one of the outstanding Hebrew scholars. He has spoken on books of the Bible in several places, and he used to come for special lecture conferences that we'd have him into the school, and he would actually take you through a book of the Bible. Dr. Feinberg has written many commentaries on Old Testament books of the Bible, and one of the books that Mr. Miles wanted him to teach on was Ezekiel, which he had written a commentary on. And so Mr. Miles went to Dr. Feinberg, who happened to be in Grand Rapids, and he said, would you mind teaching this Old Testament book for which you've been famous for writing a commentary on the book? And Dr. Feinberg said, no, I won't do it. And the reason why he said that he wouldn't do it is he said, I'm just not prepared to teach that particular book at this time. Now, when I first heard that, I was taken back by that. Here was a man who could go to the campus bookstore, literally pull a book off the shelf that he's written on that very book of the Bible. And yet he said, I'm just not prepared to teach that book at this time. And as I've thought about that, I thought, what a wise man. He knew preparation is involved before presentation. And he was not about to shortchange the presentation. So he was not just going to jump in there and do it at a surface level. And so Dr. Feinberg said, I'd be glad at some other time to come back and do that for you. But he said, at the present time, I don't want to do that. Solomon would say, that's a wise man. He wants to take in instruction. He wants to know more. He wants to learn more. And he wants to be able to feed people the truth. As Dr. Bazell said, a wise person is teachable. He's willing to become wiser. But a fool does not stop chattering long enough to learn much of anything. And that brings us to an interesting question, a very practical question. Which person are we most like? One who is the babbling fool or one who is the humble learner? Are we the one who loves to take in the deep things and learn and grow and mature? Or are we one who is just interested in talking? Solomon says, the one who's the babbler is a fool. The one who likes to receive instruction, that's a wise person. The second difference he points out between wisdom and folly is there's a major difference between integrity of life, verses 9 to 10. He who walks in integrity walks securely, but he who perverts his ways will be found out. He who winks with an eye causes trouble, and a babbling fool will be ruined. Now, the main emphasis of both of these two verses is that a wise person is a straight shooter, a person of integrity, whereas a fool is deceitful. A wise person backs up what he says by how he lives. In a wise person's life, what you basically see is what you get. He's not deceitful toward those that are around him. You'll know what he believes, you'll know where he stands, you'll know what the views are. But you're not having games played with you. That's the mark of wisdom. The fool, on the other hand, doesn't think that way, doesn't operate that way. The fool's sneaky. He'll wink with the eye. He'll make you think one thing when, in fact, that's not really what's in his heart. It's not really what he believes. He's a fool. He perverts his ways. He's walking in twisted ways, pretending to be one way when, in fact, he really isn't. Now, both of those verses speak of immediate and future consequences of choosing to live life in a wise or a foolish manner. The picture in verse 9 of one who walks in integrity, that is, one who walks in the way of wisdom, he is what he is, he says what he is, and he lives it, is one that in the mind of God is very secure. This person has a life that is secure in its relationship with the Lord. There's a sense of security, there's a sense of confidence. There's a sense, like Paul says, that in my conscience I know nothing against myself. This person is walking in a secure relationship with the Lord because he's trying to line up his or her life in light of the Scriptures. This is one that can walk surely, securely. This is one that can walk through life realizing that I'm in a right relationship with God. On the other hand, there is the other type of person who is the fool. This person is walking in a twisted way. His direction is headed towards sorrow and destruction. This person is deceitful. This is the kind of person that's always causing trouble, always causing grieving pain by his or her mouth. This person is always stirring the pot, as it were, never quieting down, never calming down. The main idea is that the deceitful person will always leave the same results. People that are wounded, he will be one who will ruin others and one himself who will be ruined. Solomon says there's a difference between the way a wise person lives life and the way a fool lives life. A wise person lives life in integrity. He walks openly and honestly. He says what he believes and he stands for that. Whereas a fool winks with the eye, playing games, a game player. And Solomon's point is, one is the mark of wisdom, the other is the mark of a fool. The third difference that he brings out is there is a major difference in communication to others, verses 11 to 12. A major difference in communication to others. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all transgressions. There's a major contrast between the way a wise person talks and the way a fool talks. Now, there are a lot of passages of the Bible, and you know that because you've been in the Bible for many, many years, most of you. anyway, that teach us that what is in the heart of a person will ultimately come out of the mouth of a person. That is just a general principle of both the Old and the New Testament, that eventually if you listen long enough, you'll see whether one loves the Word, loves the Lord, really wants to line up speech with what's correct in light of Scriptures. One area that Solomon would have specifically had in mind would have been in the area of theology. A wise man is willing to learn true doctrine, rightly divide the Word, study to rightly divide the Word and communicate that. On the other hand, a fool is just one who wants to talk, one who wants to teach. It doesn't matter if the person is teaching accurately or not. Solomon wanted his own son to know that a person who's wise is a person who will present information to others who, as he says in this very proverb, will become a fountain of life. In other words, a wise person will be presenting truth, what's sound, what's right. And if people take that in and they respond to it, if they take in the instruction, as a wise person will do, they'll receive commands, receive instruction, they'll discover that those words that are spoken to him by a wise person will produce wonderful, healthy spirituality. That person who takes in that instruction of one who's setting forth what's true and right and good will ultimately produce a fruit that is alive, a fruit that is truly growing in the things of God. There will be, as Dr. Bazell said, a free-flowing and refreshing spring to the desert traveler for one who has the wisdom of God. However, the last part of verse 11 makes it clear that the effect of the wicked is not the same. In fact, the effect of the wicked conceals violence. Now, I would understand this to mean that a wicked person is not really concerned whether or not he's communicating what's the true, right, righteous, wise ways of God. So a wicked person is one who just wants to set forth what he thinks, or sets forth what his opinion is, whether or not it leads people on paths of destruction or not. A wicked person is one who's just interested in talking, whether or not it's sending people in a wrong direction that would even send them to judgment, in which one day they would be judged by Almighty God. And then in verse 12, you get more of an intimate look at the difference between the fool and the wise man. The fool is constantly stirring up trouble, and here's apparently how he does it: by constantly reminding people of their previous failures and sins. Now, there is a place for confronting sin. We're certainly seeing that in the book of 1 Corinthians, and we're certainly going to see it again this Sunday morning and Sunday night in Matthew. There's a place for going and confronting sin issues. That is certainly right before the Lord. But apparently the fool is one who is constantly looking for something that he can continually bring out. The fool is one who's continually interested in getting an opportunity to perhaps try to remind of past failures and past transgressions that have been covered, that have actually been washed away in the blood. A fool is just interested in stirring up trouble. And that word, strife, is a word that would indicate contention. So a fool is motivated by hatred, not motivated by what's right before God. A fool is motivated by hatred to dig up things that don't have really much business being dug up, and as a result of that, causing real problems. On the other hand, the wise person loves others and covers all sin. Wise people are gracious people. When one has dealt with sin, when one has faced sin, when one has gotten the sin resolved, wise people consider it gone. They're not one to throw it up in a person's face over and over again. They realize that the matter has been resolved before the Lord, and as a result of that, the wise person covers the transgression. Now, a fool uses his mouth to dig up past failures, whereas a wise person does not use his mouth to do that. Dr. Bridges says that true wise love will not uncover a brother's fault unless it is needful for the ultimate good. And then at that point, it will in fact uncover the wrong. Now, wise people are people that are growing and learning, and they're maturing and they're blossoming, and they're doing that in their speech arena. They're not quick, as it were, to open their mouths. In fact, they're very slow to say something, and very they try to think it through before they actually say it, because they don't want to stir up strife. They don't want to cause problems. The fourth difference is there's a major difference between future treatment. Verse 13, on the lips of the discerning wisdom is found, but a rod is for the back of him who lacks understanding. You treat a wise man and a foolish man entirely different. That is clear as we're going to continue to journey through this book of Proverbs. You don't treat them the same way. That's why each case, each person must be analyzed differently. The wise man you listen to and you learn from. A wise person is one that he has stored up knowledge and there's discerning wisdom that can be found from listening to one that's skilled in understanding the Word of God. You can find wisdom in His words. You can learn how to live a skillful life. You can learn more of the Word of God from one that's wise. But a foolish person, you treat like a child. A foolish person, you have to correct him and you have to discipline him. Now, in the Old Testament economy, the forms of discipline were much more physical than those who are in rebellion today. For example, the Philistines and the Babylonians were known for plucking out eyes. Judges brings that out, and so does 2 Kings. They were also known for displaying dead bodies. That made a statement. And the Canaanites cut off thumbs and toes, according to Judges chapter 1. The Ammonites ripped open the bellies of pregnant women, according to Amos chapter 1, verse 13. So if you put the beating with a rod in that context, it does not seem to be such an extreme form of punishment as it would be if you brought it into our culture and said, well, now we're going to just beat people with a rod. Now, the particular discipline that's described here, that's referred to often throughout the book of Proverbs, is that of a rod. It's corporal punishment. It was a legal punishment under the Old Testament economy, and right here in Proverbs is the first time this punishment is mentioned, but this punishment will be referred to time and time again, and you'll see it recropping up over and over again as we go through this book of Proverbs. Apparently, Solomon recommended that if a person under the dispensation of the nation Israel and under his jurisdiction as king of Israel, if a person was discovered as being a proud rebellious fool, and that was his pattern, and he was a babbler, and he was always causing problems, then he needed to be physically disciplined. He obviously was not to be listened to or tolerated, because that could have a devastating effect on other people, which he already talked about. Now, the New Testament supports the idea of a non-toleration of believing or associating with a fool. There are many passages that tell us that we are to take disciplinary measures against someone who's established as being a fool. We're going to see one Sunday morning, and we're going to see another one Sunday night. It just happens to work out that way, that this Sunday focuses basically on similar themes. There is a principle that is taught in the New Testament, that is, when one is consistently perceived as being a fool outside of the will of God and not interested in walking in the ways of God, then you do something about it. Now, corporal punishment, corporal discipline, is not found in the grace age. You can't turn to a New Testament passage and get the admonitions like you do in Proverbs that says you beat somebody with a rod. But what you can get in the New Testament is there are disciplinary actions that are to be taken, such as severing fellowship, such as not eating a meal with someone, cutting off relationships with that individual, as basically saying, look, you're way out of line here. You're walking in a path of a fool here. You're not walking in the ways of God. Solomon's point here is that a person who's wise is a person worth listening to, but the person who's a fool is a person who should be disciplined. A wise person and the fool were not to be treated the same way. And that's the point he's making here. In other words, wisdom understands that there are wise people and there are foolish people, and you just don't lump everybody in together. You carefully monitor and watch and see and learn who's on the path of wisdom and who's on the path of a fool. Now, with this little formula that Solomon set forth tonight, in this book of Proverbs, we can make some type of determination of which path we're on. We can say, well, am I more on the path of a person who's moving in a direction of wisdom? Or am I more on a path who is moving in a direction of that who's a fool? What do you consider yourself to be? Do you see yourself as one who knows little and needs to learn more and more and more and grow in the deeper things of God? Or do you see yourself as one who knows much and you don't need much more learning? Just answer that question. That's a simple question to answer. Do you view yourself as one who's walking? What you see, what we see, what you see in me, what I see in you is what you're getting. I mean, is it a life of integrity? I mean, is it a life that is for real? I mean, that's an honest question that deserves answer in every one of our lives. It's a good, solid question to determine if we're on a path of wisdom or a path of folly. Are we what we look to be? Are we open and honest, or are we a deceitful kind of sneaky person that just kind of sneaks around and just operates behind the scenes in sneaky ways? See, there's a good gauge right there whether or not we're a wise person of integrity or whether or not we're on a path of a fool. When it comes time to communicate with people, are we interested in communicating what's true and what's accurate in light of Scripture, or just our own views, whether or not it lines up with the Word isn't really significant. When we were down in Terre Haute on the first Sunday morning that we were to go speak at a church, we were told by the missionary that we were going to be picked up by a man in a truck, a white truck. Now, trucks in Terre Haute are not the size of trucks we have here. They're the little trucks. That's the only, and there aren't many of them. Not too many vehicles even exist there. But so this wouldn't be very hard for us to figure out. So Mark and I were down waiting for this truck to pull up, and this man pulled up in the truck, and he was, in just a matter of minutes, one of the most obnoxious men that we've ever met. And he started in on us. And I believe, as I look back on it, it was a tool of Satan, just trying to set the whole week off in a negative direction. And he started making some pretty radical statements. And with every statement he made, we'd fire Scripture at him and say, well, here's what the Word of God says. And whenever we would do that and throw the Scriptures at him, he would just say, I don't want to talk to you guys. I don't want to talk to you guys. That's what the Bible says, or something like that. And we said, well, that is the point. Finally, we realized, quite frankly, we were talking to a fool. A fool who was just interested in sharing and postulating his own ideas, some of which were very heretical. And so we said to this man, looking him straight in the eyes, you know what? You're asking us to believe your opinion versus the Word of God. We're going to stick with the Word of God, not your opinions. Your opinions are out there. And I want to tell you, you could just see the animosity in this man. When I read this text, I thought, that was that guy. He just wanted to talk. He knew nothing of what he was talking about. He had his own preconceived ideas. Whether or not it was doctrinally sound, whether or not it was true to the Word, did not matter. He just wanted to rattle off his mouth. And the tragedy is, in an area like that, there will be those that will listen and probably those that will embrace the nonsense that he was talking about. And he's a fool. And that's exactly what Proverbs would classify him. That's what that text is bringing out tonight. Any questions or comments about it? Yes.